43rd chapter in the prophecy by Isaiah and verse 21. Verse 21, chapter 43, in the prophecy by Isaiah. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. When God and His eternal Son came down to create man, and He created man in His own image. Beautiful sight that must have been. There was no cares, no afflictions, no sorrows, no burdens at all, and no sin. Therefore, after He created him and gave unto him a partner, an helpmeet, they were a very happy couple together. And they had the greatest companionship of all. They had the companionship of their Creator, their Maker, even God. Wonderful place. But those vessels created by God, they become marred. And marred in the hands of the Maker. But who could ever mar the work of God? Who could mar the love of Christ and God to any of it on earth? Only one. He does all He can and ever will to mar it, and that is Satan. And since then, there has been no man able to create himself peace to go to heaven. So, my friends, as Satan must be and shall be a defeated foe and laid low, God the Father sent His only begotten Son. Wonderful gift. And before He sent Him upon this sinful earth, He gave Him a people. But that people must be formed, and no hand but the precious hand of God could ever form them, and never to be marred. So it pleased God the Father, through the person of His dear Son, to give them another birth. You see, our first birth, we were marred. The second birth is of the grace and love of God. And so wonderful and so powerful is that birth that there's a turn in the back on what once we learned. Forsaking that, and following a precious Christ. Wonderful favor. It may stoop so low and yet be as strong as the most conspicuous call by grace. One young woman years ago, the archdeacon thought she ought to say more than she did. He sort of made a measure by which they had to come. If they did not reach it, he thought they ought to wait. Well, wisdom's very needful, but grace is the word, is more than that. How to use your wisdom. And she said this, I hate the things I once loved, and I love those precious things I once hated. And it broke down all the hardness of the archdeacon. We can be hard, you know, if left to ourselves. And my friends, he said, come in. Thou blessed of the Lord, why standest thou without? Now, what and where was the mark of that calling, the change? And a very remarkable one. It was the new birth. It was that came down from heaven. And there is not any on earth that can create a child of God. Not any. And it's a very solemn thought, and yet it's a very real one, because everyone that's born again is the travail of a precious Christ in Gethsemane. That's why. And my friend, it may try you. I hope it does cause you many thoughts and many prayers and many desires to know if you're among this people. It gives a wonderful foundation, don't it? But before I speak of that foundation, let us go to the circumstances around the Church of God at that time. The world had become much like it is today. There was little reverence to God, or for men, very much the same. There's nothing new, not anything new under the sun. The heart of nature is just the same in the man or woman or child. Then there were those who feared God, who were in Babylon as prisoners, that great Babylon. And here the prophet was sent of God to speak to them. A prophet's rather different to a pastor. A pastor set over a flock. A prophet has to go forth with whatever God gives them. And it often is to go to those where his word shall prevail over all that may be against that word. a wonderful thing. The prophets had to suffer most for what they had to prophesy. And yet it was in the power of the same God. And that's why he was to give a word unto those in captivity, and those mingled among the world who had forsaken God and never knew it. And so he said, but now, mind you, don't think the children of God are perfect, they're not. If you lean on them, you'll soon find they're not very perfect. But we honor them. There is something there that God gives, and that is his love, which brings forth matchless grace. They have their infirmities. And we live till we lay them in the grave or laid in the grave. As I've told you before, Gascoigne, dear Mr. Gascoigne, lying a peculiar tempered lady in the grave. We bury her faults first. Wish everyone would do that. Bury her faults, and now we are lay her body in sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection, because the Christ loved her. Very great love to love you or I, and to have any earnest of it with all our faults and with all our mistakes and all our sins. That's what makes his love stand out. Can it be for me, you say? Now there's another part, and that it sets forth his chosen people, and that tries many. Many years ago, when Phil Potts was preaching, and many godly men, Gadsby, and great ministers they were. They were giants in the ministry of the word. And they met in a little room in Oxford, where you had to go up a few steps, wooden steps. I often thought I should fall through them as I was a little boy. It was over a tallow factory. And the dear godly mother of Israel traveled out to Wiltshire. She called at a little baker shop while there was a little man opposite. And she asked them if he could tell her where the strict Baptist met. Well, he said, in that place, if you open the doors and go up those steps, there's a few go there who think they'll go to heaven and nobody else. She looked at him. She said, you've made a mistake when you say that about them. They wonder if they'll ever get to heaven. But thank you, she said. That's the place I want. Now you see, I speak this to show that it is of all of his grace, and that is the very ground of a newborn soul, is to know whether they are his or not. Oh, it's a great matter, old friend. It's either heaven or hell. It is, my friends. It is either to be saved or lost. It is either to know that, my friends, he hath redeemed you. First in creating and now redemption. Very blessed word, redemption is. This is the foundation. My friends, and we would bring before you what Pilate had to acknowledge when Jesus, on his way to the cross, to suffer in the Roman place of every one of his, the Father gave him, his clothed with a purple robe and a crown of thorns upon his head. And what did Pilate say, behold the man, behold him? Ah, my friends, it is here. May we have that grain of faith to see the Redeemer. Then, as the Lamb of God, before he cried out, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. Listen, it's the sacrifice. It's the Lamb of God from before the foundation of the world. Listen, while he was felt thirst, they gave him vinegar to drink. But listen, as he stood the victim, nothing to spare him, never sinned, righteous, and holy as his Father, before he gave up the ghost, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He yielded up his soul. And that, my friends, became a ransom for many. The debt is paid in the purest blood that ever was born by any on earth, Jesus. Our blood's our life, not literally. If that dry up or turn to water, we soon die. But here, because death for everyone, none can ever stay that, but the blood of Christ. It was poured out to be a fountain, a glorious fountain, whereby the sinner healingly shall may have pardon and peace through him that stood in their room, place and state. He could go to the woman surrounded by the Jewish law, having committed adultery in the very act, that every stone they could cast at her was just in that law. We don't know what the severity of that law was. Death almost every time it was disobeyed. But he came to fulfill it. He came to take away that condemnation and it bet that you should suffer. And in a very beautiful way, flowing from his sacred lips, he that is without sin among you cast the first stone. And they all went out. They all went out. And the woman and Jesus were left together. An adulteress, yes. And a savior, yes. If no man condemned her, there were no men to condemn her. The law could not move there. Grace and love rose above that to that woman. She'd been, and my friends, soon he would be and then was in eternity and in his holy mind. He was our Redeemer. A ransom was to be paid, and he must know the very fruit of it. Neither do I condemn thee. He sent her home in peace. Whoever that woman was, she was on the earth, like you and me. And there's not the shadow of a doubt that her soul, her spirit, has gone to heaven. Why? Because he who maketh heaven for all that God has given him is there. And he sent her this there, friend. Forgiveness. Tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. I believe it's one of the sweetest drops of heavenly love when it comes to a poor sinner who has nothing to plead, nothing at all in themselves, now in their sinnership, wanting mercy and desiring pardon. It comes over it all and says your sins. That your many are all forgiven, not blotted them out as a thick cloud. Selfie, never to see them again. And the fool is forgiven. And one feels very solemn. If I'm not forgiven, there's no heaven for me. We have to preach on eternity to you now, you know. As the days went by, the walk has become more and more solemn. How stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Forgiveness. And forgiveness, my friends, is the ransom that he paid through his atoning blood. And would we cannot produce that spiritual love in exercise as we would love to, but to sit at his table, oh, to have a touch of it, friend. I was reading a little of Huntington, and now he did not see baptism, but he never fought against it. But speaking of the Lord's table, and there was no man that built but said, ever led into the truths and the opening up of the scriptures like he was. And he said this, you would not have a corpse sitting at your table, would you? I thought it'd come home to me. Now, you wouldn't have a dead person sitting there. So is the Lord's table. It's so holy that there are living children that sit there. And my friends, they have a hope raised in their breast, a little hope it might be that you almost wonder if you have one at all. But you see and feel and know there's a precious Savior that can save to the very uttermost. On the other hand, there is something very precious in sin of the table. I would thou were more brought there. I do, my friends, when the love of Christ is shed in the heart, when he reveals himself, when he shows you how he suffered in your room, place and state, and when he gives you some sweet hope that he hath redeemed thee and called thee by thy name and sealed it with an holy sealing, Thou art mine. And we sit around the table as the children of God. Wonderful grace. Sometimes I feel I do not weep enough at the mercy we have found. Because it was His dying love, the most holy table that ever has stood on this earth. And what was that pressed and came freely from His lips? Do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because He remembered you. That's why. And my friends, not only to remember you in sitting your feet on a rock and establishing your goings and placing a new song in your mouth, but when the ways through the waters and the fires, He remembered you. Says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. We ought to fear whether we shall walk alone. Have you ever felt it, child? The tribulation of mind and body and circumstance, it seemed overwhelming. Wave upon wave. And you felt the truth of what we sing. Whom no man can kennel, no man can see. Ah, you see the waters and the floods. He says, I'll be with you. The river shall not overflow you. The fire thou shalt not be burnt. I'm with you. And yet it's all necessary. It's all necessary to a child of God. You no more than I could take particular trials or afflictions and clasp them to your breast, could you? There'd be something rise in your nature. How shall I get through this? What's going to happen now? And for a moment or two or more, your eyes would be on yourself and your affliction, or your sorrows. Or come close as I've known it, your bereavements. And it takes away your all that you have this side of the grave, my friends. Ah, and you wonder why it is that He rises up. He will not let one poor thing sink when they need him most. Never. He ransomed thy soul from going down into the depths of despair. I'm with you. And I say, are these necessary? Well, you know the truth if you're one of these. You have to pray where you wouldn't pray before, very honestly. Maybe a child, maybe a wife, it may be one near to you. They may be very deep waters. to you, passing through it. And he says, I'm with you. And I tell you how, the little measure I know, you know he's with you. He's round about you, so that the enemy cannot overthrow you. And he giveth grace, because that you in your proper place, you're humbled under his mighty hand, he giveth grace. And more than that, he giveth more grace as you want it. Now, there were other things. He showed by Isaiah unto these people that he was their Holy One. All the majesty of our God that we know so little of, and the majesty and care he hath for these dear people is this. He maketh a way in the sea. Can that be possible? My friends, the Red Sea was not the only sea he made a way through for it, dear children. Yes. I've told you place before, dear men that I knew, godly deacon, driving his car to chapel, the poor woman not thinking cross the road, and she was cut down, needed now, had to stay, take her to hospital. Oh, he said, what waters. He took all his worship away. And while he waited outside, the Lord was with him. He makes a way. He does, my friends. You don't know what a great God God's people have. What a mighty love. What deep condescension. What mercy to hear your poor cries and it's time to answer them. And they came out, they said, you can go back. It was our fault that he's only got a few bruises, that's all. Oh, he said he went to chapel very different to what he was going before. He had to go to know that he was formed by his God for one particular purpose. For all thy works, if the psalmist shall praise thee, it was to praise him. You ask to praise him. He forms them by the hand. And my friends, it's an hand you and I have trembled at. And yet bowed under sovereignty. So that it's a great mercy to possess an hope in your soul that you have and are found among his dear people. Now he preserves them. There were those which brought forth the chariot and horse the army and power. Now he says, they shall not overthrow you. They shall lie down. They shall lie down, and you might have 1,000 fears like an army, and they might torment your poor mind and your poor soul, that you could find no peace. He's forming you. He's bringing you to that spot. Be still, now that I am God. Bring you where he can calm your mind. Oh yes. He said they shall put down, they won't rise against you. They're quenched as stone. Wonderful thing. Now there's not one who fears God, whether in business or in the labors or in the position, whether it be a daughter or a son, but what they've had peculiar providential trials, that it seemed at times they would be overwhelmed. Yet it was thy God. He ruled for you. He heard your prayers. He heard your cries. He saw your tears. He knew what was going on, and you never felt that he knew it. Ah, my friend. And as I spoke the other night, he, my friend, he keepeth thy feet, so that thy foot is never moved. Your God is never still. The child of God, their God, is never still. He's got a great family. He ever has had a family, more or less, in the generations. And yet he can come to a daughter and a son in tribulation as if they were the only one to come to. If he delivers one here, another there, and when, my friends, they have been delivered, he leaves a witness behind. Be now dumb people in heaven. I speak reverently, my friends. None. And it'll be to his honor and praise when he opens the lips of the dumb and calls them to speak and opens their eyes to see the glories of Emmanuel and to behold that he is their Savior and their God. You might wonder why this and that. You'd like it all straight, wouldn't you? Well, if it was all straight here, you'd be so filled up with the earth that you wouldn't want to get heaven. Yes. My dear godly father, he was a carpenter, Queen's College. And in his prayers, he often said this, Lord, we are glued to this earth. Break it. Break it. Don't let us stay here. Now, he'll form you. He'll give you this, which is very great evidence of his love, to count all things. That's a great thing. That's a great mercy, to count all things, that damn and dross, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Wonderful blessing when you and I could come there. I believe everyone, whether they could express it or not, in the moment when it gave them the wings to their soul to go right to heaven, they come to that place. Yes. This people, you see. Well, he says the beast of the field and the dragons and the owls. What characters, aren't they? But what is it, my friends, that will give them the sweet blessing of assurance? I gave waters in the wilderness. Perhaps he led some before me at some time when all before them seemed like a wilderness. And instead of the Lord opening a way for you, it seemed as if he was closing it all up and ruin stood before you. Now, I give waters there. I give waters there. Some of that living water we spoke of this morning. And I give rivers there to give drink to my people, my chosen. What's the greater blessing to have his mercy in your heart? To see him appear. To balance all your bills when they seem against you. To give you to know that he opens the way and makes a way through the wilderness. And to give you to know there's no strange God among you. You grow to win. Yes. I'll up the speaker of his omnipotence. And yet I'm a poor people when up and bowed down. I'll up the speak of his omniscience. That his eye is upon every precious thing. I'll have to speak of his glory, his righteousness, to stand in the room and place, take away your filthy garments, and give you a robe in its place, that you might go within the wedding feast, and sit there, none to turn you out. I'll have to think there are those that are adopted by his grace, that he calls them his children, his daughters, and his sons. And he has some very precious daughters. Yes, my friends. He sometimes leaves them out. We don't prize them to their titan. As many living that our right hands and in sweet fellowship, so that in their trials they walk together. Yes. Perhaps unknown to each other, they pray together. One might be in one room and another in another. An unknown might be praying to God while passing through the waters and through the fire. Oh, my friend, you must praise him for something. And there is now better incense or gift to your God than he to give him praise. He said, thou hast not brought me small kettle of thy burnt offering. Thou hast not honored me with thy sacrifices. Thou hast brought me now sweet cane with mummy. Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifice. I've come there, friend, condemned there myself. I don't speak of others. Now, but what does he say? Because you have not visited him as you did, because you have not brought forth his praise as you should have done, because you have had many gifts from him and never thanked him for it. But he said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for your sake, for my own name's sake, because he's made a covenant with you for his own sake, for whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them forever and ever. And he said this, I will not remember. Oh, you're failing. And I tell you, if you live to my age, those failings will be like a mountain. Satan sometimes likes to bring it to us. Goes right back. But he says, I will not remember thy sins. I will not. That fountain is deep enough to cover all your sins, failings, and blessings rest. You have some sweet hope that he's formed you for himself. The day shall shout forth my praise. Thank you.